Hey, Jacob here. I wanted to say that recently we have seen a very large jump in listener numbers. So if you have told somebody about the show, thank you so much. Keep doing it. If you are a new listener, thank you and welcome. I thought it might be a good time to just mention a couple older episodes that you might want to go back to and listen. So I'm going to recommend two. The first is on the lighter side. It's funnier. It's called The Genius Improviser. It is about an actual genius who uses his intellect to found an improv company. Great story. Secondly, for a good historic murder mystery, check out The Grave of Rosemary Dean. It's got all the elements of mystery and gruesome stuff, and, you know, if you're into that sort of thing, check that one out. One more thing. I'm warning you. This episode has some graphic details about bodies, and not living ones. This is not a casual warning, and I've done my best to keep it as minimal as the story will allow for, but there's some gruesome stuff. You have been warned. Here we go. Bethany grew up off the western coast of Nova Scotia on an island, Cape Breton.
I'm particularly from a town called Louisburg.
It's a very rural area, and there's this picture from when Bethany was a toddler.
Which one is you?
This is me, and this is my sister.
Her older sister is holding a Garfield doll, and Bethany is bundled up in a blue puffy coat. And the face she's making gives the impression that this is a gregarious, fearless child.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
It's like, I was literally thinking, you know what would be great is a cup of tea. And then you ask.
I'm at Bethany's apartment in Nashville looking at this photo. And you've got her and her sister, and there's a deer in the frame, hanging from a tree.
In Canada, everybody hunts, and there's a deer hanging, getting ready to, you know, to be, worked out and cut up and things like that.
This picture was taken at her grandpa's house. He was a hunter, but probably the most interesting thing in the picture.
Behind us, you know, I'm just nonchalantly with my hand in my pocket, like posing beside this deer, and behind us is a hearse. Like it's where like the caskets are kept. And it was just normal. Like that was just a normal thing. So it almost felt like second nature. A portion of the house was a funeral home.
Bethany's grandfather was a funeral director.
So there's like death in front of you and death behind you.
Yeah. And it's just, that's normal. Yeah. You know, that's normal, so.
I'm Jacob Lewis, and from Nashville Public Radio, you're listening to Neighbors, a show about what connects us. Bethany's story is about how she discovered her gift to help people navigate death and the personal cost that comes with it. Bethany currently works in Nashville at Trader Joe's, a grocery store, which is a pretty far cry from a funeral home. The stereotype of someone who works at the latter kind of has a certain vibe.
I always think of the Disney movie Beauty and the Beast. There's this like hunched over, pale skinned, super thin, balding, greasy undertaker who's like waiting, you know, basically for somebody to die, and he's like waiting to carry them.
Sure, now at Trader Joe's, Bethany helps people choose between plain and vanilla coconut milk. But she used to help people decide between cremation or burial. She was a funeral director, just like her grandpa. In fact, she's always been in some sort of helping profession. It started out helping people in the beginning of their lives with an entry-level job in nursing in the NICU, working with premature babies. When she was ready to advance her career, someone actually suggested mortuary school. It wasn't a totally crazy idea since her grandpa had done that, but it had been a while since the days of the photo with the deer and the hearse. She wasn't quite sure. Until the thing with Ted happened. Ted was a man in her church who worked in construction.
And Ted supposedly was allergic to bees. So whatever construction site they were working on, he was on the roof. And I guess there were bees. And he, to try to get away from the bees, fell off of the roof and tragically died, leaving his young wife and three kids under the age of 7, who didn't speak the language of the area.
They only spoke Spanish. Bethany's dad was the pastor of the church and helped them find a funeral home. But he hadn't done any funerals in the congregation yet, so he chose one based on curb appeal. This turned out to be a big mistake. Bethany's dad took the grieving woman to meet the funeral director.
And he was just very unfeeling. He was very short. He told her, for instance, which is just even horrifying to utter, that Stereotypically, Hispanic children are misbehaved, so he would appreciate it if she didn't bring her children to the funeral.
And when it came the day for the actual service, the funeral director was reading a magazine with his feet propped up on his desk as people walked in. And that's when Bethany saw Ted.
I can remember being ignorant back then of what was even required to make a body presentable for a family to identify. And Ted was not presentable. The work that was done on Ted was sad, to be honest with you. It was sad. You know, my heart was broken for them. Not only were they dealing with a tragedy like this, but they were dealing with somebody who wasn't compassionate to their situation. And I just remember I said to my dad, like, I don't even know how to do this, but I think I could do a better job than this. My dad said, I think you should.
She applied to mortuary school and got accepted immediately. Worsham College of Mortuary Science in Illinois. There, she learned things like the business of running a funeral home, a little psychology to help with grieving families, and all about embalming. That's the part where they prepare a body for viewing. They use fluids like formaldehyde and add cosmetics to get the body to look as close to what it looked like in life. Now, at school, the first 6 months, they were just theory. But eventually, it came time to put that all into practice.
So they had a contract with the Cook County Morgue in Chicago.
There was a special room where Bethany and her classmates would go.
We would go in and we would embalm the indigent and unclaimed.
People without families or money were disinfected, preserved, and had their features set by students. The first time Bethany was in this room, there was a body lying on the table.
I remember when the instructor looked at me and said, okay, go ahead. And I instantly had the thought in mind of, I've wasted all this money because I can't do this. I don't know what I'm going to tell my parents.
How am I going to get out of this?
I can't cut somebody open. I don't know how to do that.
I've never done that
This
before.
Was all in a matter of seconds going through my brain. And something in me, I really don't even know. I looked up at the instructor and I said, what was his name? Because to us, they were just John and Jane Doe's, you know, and so somebody yelled. I think they were just as nervous as me. Somebody went, I think his name is Matt, you know, and I said, oh, okay. And so then I looked at them and I said, I wonder how old he was when he had his first kiss. Somebody was kind of looking at me, encouraging, like, keep going. And I was like, okay, his name was this. And he had his first kiss when he was 17. And it was to so-and-so. And they were married. And then they got a divorce. But they have these three kids. And I made this whole entire story up about this man that I didn't know.
Out loud?
Out loud. In front of everybody. As everyone was looking at me with just as much panic as I was looking at them. Because we were all just panicked. Yeah. And I can remember feeling, all of a sudden, a responsibility for my newfound friend, that I was going to show him this one last kindness that nobody else was going to be able to give him. And I can just remember, like, patting him on the shoulder and saying, okay, buddy, like, let me do this for you because you're a person.
I could see some people's strategy would be to, you know, distance themselves as much as possible.
Absolutely.
To be able to deal with it.
Right.
But you're saying by humanizing him, giving him dignity, like that sense of responsibility and purpose and care, maybe, like empowered you to be able to do something that you thought maybe you weren't able to do?
Absolutely. That was the gist of the whole thing, was that I needed to make this on a personal level, that this was, I wouldn't say a calling, but that this was something that not many people do. And not many people are willing to do. This is such a taboo topic. It's such a taboo career for people to even think about. A lot of people won't even go into hospitals. They won't go into funeral homes. They won't, you know, because they're faced with things. So for me to humanize him, whether I be completely off course, you know, he could have been terrible. He could have been an abusive alcoholic guy. I didn't know. But for me, that was a way that I could say, okay, now I feel like I can make myself do the appropriate and just thing for you. I'm being merciful by allowing myself to do something that I'm uncomfortable with. But because I know and I feel that human life is the most important thing on the planet, that you are human to me, your life was important, so let me show you.
We'll hear more about Bethany after the break. Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For as little as $32 a week, you can work with an experienced, licensed therapist handpicked just for you. On Talkspace, you can send text, audio, and video messages to your therapist and talk about your life, work through what's keeping you up at night, or just work on feeling a bit happier. To sign up or to learn more, go to Talkspace.com/neighbors. And to show your support for this podcast, use the code NEIGHBORS to get $30 off your first month. That's neighbors, the American spelling, not the British spelling. Talkspace.com/neighbors. This episode of Neighbors is brought to you by Audible. Audible is offering listeners of Neighbors a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. You just go to audible.com/neighbors. There you can browse the unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more. For your free audiobook, I suggest Hillbilly Elegy by J.D. Vance, but you can choose whatever you want. Just go to audible.com/neighbors, browse and download a title free, and start listening. Go to audible.com/neighbors, that's audible.com/neighbors, and get started today. Bethany graduated having done 20 embalmings at the Cook County Morgue. She had apprenticeships in a couple places in Illinois, and then got a job in Georgia. She shared the title of funeral director with other people at a large funeral home. It had four separate chapels where they did 800 services a year. That was a lot of death. Now, Bethany only dealt with a portion of that number, but she humanized every single one of them, just like the first man she embalmed. And that proved to be very rewarding.
I remember this one guy was in a car wreck. He was 27, and he was tragically killed in a car accident. And his parents were devastated. He was physically active, just a handsome man.
The family wanted to be able to view his body, but he had quite a few scratches and scrapes from the accident.
Is there any way you could do this? I said, I can give it a try. And for the next 6 hours, I worked on that young man's face. And it's always a gamble. You don't know, you know. He was presentable to me, so I left it with the funeral director to make a call. He brought the family in. And a half an hour later, he came in my office and he said, is there any way you could come? The mother's requested to see you. And I said, okay, you know, and with that's always a gamble. You don't know if somebody's going to yell at you or lash out at you or what. And she collapsed in my arms and thanked me because she was able to see her son and say goodbye. And to me, you can't even put a price tag on that. Like, I don't even know how to, you know, that was like one of the most rewarding things that I had ever experienced.
Bethany has story after story like that, where her compassion and care was noticed and appreciated. But still, to be present like that, death after death, it was difficult and stressful.
Physically draining, mentally draining, all wrapped in one, all of the time. It was my life.
She was on call, even at home.
And I remember sitting in my pajamas, somebody walking into my bedroom just to say like, hey, we're gonna watch a movie.
But Bethany was on the phone with the client.
And they literally walked into me like having to explain like, well, cremation is, you know, up to 2,000 degrees. Like here I am 10:30 at night trying to go to bed, having to talk to somebody who's staring at a loved one who's minutes away from dying at the hospital.
Bethany worked 11 days on and 3 days off.
I couldn't lose weight. I was gaining weight. My hair was falling out. And I was just not healthy.
Was it hard for you to detach?
I think so, absolutely.
Last year, Bethany knew she wanted a change. She left her funeral home in northern Georgia and moved to Nashville to be closer to her brother. She took a job at a trade service, which is a company that just goes and picks up bodies and embalms them and doesn't deal with the families. The kind of thing a funeral home sometimes outsources. But Bethany's first day on the job in Nashville was kind of like Ted's funeral back in Chicago so many years ago.
They were seeing what was, I guess, what you're capable of doing, just like any job. and there was a fatality.
A motor vehicle accident.
Oh, he was picked up from the hospital and brought back to their facility.
He was placed on a table to be worked on.
And I just noticed this man was physically fit, except his stomach.
Now, this next part is pretty graphic, but I've tried to keep it brief. The man's stomach was swollen and had a surgical incision. She looked inside and found that the hospital had left surgical towels to stop the bleeding, like 20 of them.
So my whole thing was, let's get those out of there.
Now, there's a couple reasons for this. One, having something in the way of arteries like that might block the embalming fluid, meaning that part of the body won't get preserved. The second reason is, would you want towels in your loved one's body?
So let's just take the time, do it right the first time, get rid of that stuff.
But her new boss wasn't having it.
So what did he want to do?
He didn't have time for that. So he wanted to just go ahead and proceed like that wasn't even even there.
Just like leave them in?
Just leave them in, yeah. And I just don't agree. And we didn't agree enough that I showed up to work the next day.
The boss's wife pulled her aside and said,
she didn't believe anything was this was going to work out. And I said, thank goodness. And I left.
And this is when Bethany realized that all the stress of this work had really taken its toll. And all of a sudden, she was free. No more being on call in the middle of the night. No more being caught in the middle of quarreling family members. She could get back to her life.
Do you think you would have quit anyway?
No, that's the sad thing. I don't think I would have. I think I would have tried to hold out.
Released from the burden she had been carrying around for so long, she looked for another job. That's when she applied to Trader Joe's, and she got it. It's quite a different pace, and although she says it's a great job, there's still a little something missing.
I will say that I do wrestle with feeling not purposeful, if that makes sense. It's retaught me how to have compassion for people that I don't have compassion for, in a sense of I have compassion for people, but I don't have compassion for somebody who is crying because we don't have any corn left. So I've had to learn to show kindness even when things to me are not that big of a deal. And I think that's like the trauma of it, being around things that are tragic continuously all the time. You can be hard on people, you know, be hard on people that are having a bad day. But just because you don't deem it hard doesn't mean it's not a bad day. So
do you intend to go back and do this again?
I could see me going back into it, I think, or finding something that's a happy medium of all the above.
A happy medium between the stress of embalming and the joy of helping others. It sounds hard to imagine, but since my last conversation on tape with Bethany, she told me she may have actually found that. Bethany recently accepted a new job. She'll be working for a tissue and organ donor company. She says it utilizes her skills as a nurse and her people skills. And she won't deal with any actual bodies, only helping grieving families on the phone. A happy medium. Neighbors is from Nashville Public Radio and produced by me, Jacob Lewis. The show's editors are Emily Siner, Mac Linebaugh, and Anita Bug. Special thanks to my old Trader Joe's co-worker, David Thornton, for telling me about Bethany. Music in this episode by Poddington Bear and Chris Zabriskie, and this song is by Jason Goforth. Neighbors is a proud and founding member of the audio collective The Herd. Congratulations to Marlo Mack, who just won a Webby for her show How to Be a Girl, and Tali Abacasis with her brilliant new season of First Day Back. To learn more, visit theherdradio.com. That's H-E-A-R-D. Please leave me a review in iTunes. I'm Jacob Lewis, and I'm reminding you to get to know your neighbors.